بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, it was a sunnah of the Sahaba when they were listening to anything from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم to gather close and come close and listen. So those who are sitting on the peripheries, please move. Sitting in one corner of the room is not from the sunnah. Come here, come in the front here. The biggest, when I say biggest, I always remind myself that I'm not listing in order of priority, but to me, the biggest and definitely one of the biggest miracles, the mu'jizat of Rasulullah ﷺ is the forming of the Ummah of Muslims. And I am saying that because this is something that was unique at that time, and it has been, even to today, it is something which is unique. It never happened before that, and sadly, it looks like it never happens after that. I'm saying it is unique because Rasulullah ﷺ brought together people from all kinds of diverse backgrounds. He brought together Arabs and Africans, and he brought together people from, and when we say Arabs, that itself is misleading, because from the Arab perspective, there is no such thing as Arabs. They look at themselves like Africans, for example. There is no such thing as Africans. I mean, if you go to South Africa, you are a Xhosa, or you are a Zulu, or you are a Shangaan. Or if you go to Nigeria, you are a Hausa, or you are a Fulani, or you are a Nibo. And there is no African. Right? Do people identify themselves by their tribe, not by some continent? Similarly, there is no such thing as an Arab. There are different tribes, there are different Arabs from different places, and so on and so forth, including dialects. In Arabic, the Fusa is more or less, the classical Arabic is more or less standard, but other than that, there are a huge number of dialects and very different pronunciations, including the words themselves are completely different. I mean, if you look at the, for example, if you say something, if you want to tell somebody to look at something, so you say unzur in Fusa, in Amya you say shuf. I mean, it's a completely different word, right? So, and then of course there were Salman Farsi radhiyallahu anhu, who was from Iran. There were people from all over the place. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed to bring them together, and he managed to mold them into one community, based on faith, not based on race, not based on color, not based on language, not based on anything, but on the basis of faith, on the basis of religion. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, revealed Quran in this context, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَعْبُدُونَ. And in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. Allah said, you are one people and I am your Rabb, so worship me. You are one people and I am your Rabb, so have taqwa of me. Now on this basis, Rasulullah ﷺ made in Medina, and this happened in Medina, it was not there in Makkah, it happened in Medina. Rasulullah ﷺ made brothers of people, and he put together people of completely different types, right? The brother of Bilal bin Rabah was a Ansari Arab. So here was a man who was black African, former slave, who was made the brother of a free man and a Ansari, and a Madinan from the tribe of Aus. So similarly for Salman al-Farsi, his brother was Abu Darda al-Ansari, So, this similarly, Ravi Sahasrara made these brothers. Now, if you think about it and say, how did he do that? It's very simple. He did that by focusing on the fundamentals. And the fundamental is the deed. The fundamental is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and the connection with pleasing Him, worshipping Him and pleasing Him. This is the fundamental connection, which is fa'budun wa fattaqun, both the two things. One is worship Allah and the other one is to please Allah, meaning live the rest of your life in a way which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give you a comparison to this. So for example, if I want to promote football and I want all of you to love football, then what must I do? I must talk about football, right? I must talk about football, I must tell you what a wonderful game it is and so on and so on. Now, instead of talking about football, if I'm talking about Arsenal and I'm talking about Manchester United and I'm talking about... Now, will I promote football or will I promote divisions? Divisions. I mean, I'm talking about football clubs. So, I am now promoting Manchester United or I'm promoting Arsenal or I'm promoting somebody else. Now, these I am trying to... Therefore, I am promoting divisions instead of promoting football. Now, take the same thing. Today, what has happened to us, and not today, not just today, for a couple of centuries. Instead of promoting Islam, we have promoted madhabs. Right? We have promoted madhabs. Now, in India, what is actually the correct term, which is madhab, we call it maslak. So, we have promoted maslaks. So, instead of ikhawatuddin, we have ikhawatul maslak. So, we have madaris, which are formed on the basis of maslak. So, there is a Hanafi madarsa, and there is a Shafi madarsa, and there is an Ahl Hadith madarsa, and there is a this one and that one. There is no madarsa for Islam. If somebody says, I want to learn Islam, where does he go? If he goes to Deoband, he will learn Hanafi madhab. Right? If he goes to Jamia Islamia in Bhatkal, he will learn Shafi madhab. If he goes to Nadwat Ulama, he will learn hopefully a little bit more, because the Nadwi philosophy is a little more broad-minded. If he goes to Banaras, he will learn the madhab of Ahl Hadith. So where must he go to learn Islam? Now this is what has happened. So people also have become focused more on these masail, and most of them are tertiary, they are peripheral, they are furu'i masail. The other day it was interesting because Zafar Ansari, my friend here, he said people have questions. So I said, can you collect all of them, write them down and get them to me. So he got me, I think, 20 questions or something like 20 or 25 questions. All of them related to masail. If I recall them. Everyone, all of those questions related to masail. There was not a single question to say, what must I do to get khushu in my salah? What must I do to make my dua accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What must I do to build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's no such question. So, obviously, it means that all of you have got complete total khushu in your salah. Alhamdulillah, you are completely connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you say Allahu Akbar, khalas, you are standing in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are looking at Allah. Then nothing else is important, right? If that was really the case, then even these masail questions you asked me, you would not need to ask. That's why I gave you the example of promoting football as compared with promoting Arsenal or Manchester United or something. Today, the biggest need is to break out of this completely negative mindset of dividing ourselves based on maslaks. We have to get out of this. And the way to do that is to focus on the fundamental. What is the fundamental? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fundamental. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fundamental. So focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I please Allah? How can I live my life according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now see we talk about masalik, right? Now see the people in whose names those masalik are created. Remember, First of all, that's why you must read history. When Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was alive, there was no Hanafi madhab. Please understand this very clearly. There was no Hanafi madhab in the lifetime of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Hanafi madhab came later, because then people said, we are following so and so, therefore we are. He didn't say, this is a Hanafi school, only Hanafis come. No. And the same thing applies to all the four a'imma. Same thing to Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i. So there was no Shafi'i madhab in the life of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi. Today we have the madhab and we also fight each other on that basis. Now see, however, the behavior of those people. Now take for example, I'll give you a couple of examples. Imam Malik rahmatullahi and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, their fatwa is that after Salatul Asr, before Salatul Maghrib, you should not do any sujood, right? There should be no sajda, no nafil salah, and so on. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Ahmad said, if there is a reason to do it, then you can do it. So for example, if you are reading Quran and there is a sajda ayat, you can make sujood. Or if you enter a masjid, you can pray two rakat of the ayatul masjid, even if it is not yet time for Maghrib. You already prayed Asr, you came to a masjid, it's not time for Maghrib yet, but you can pray two rakat of the masjid, because there is a reason. The reason is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the person to pray Tahiyatul Masjid before he sat down. Now, what is the hadith? That hadith is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering the khutbah for Jummah. A man came in and he was about to sit down. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam interrupted his khutbah and he said, "Don't sit down until you pray two rakat Tahiyatul Masjid." What time of the day was it? Jummah, Zuhr. Right? Now, so based on this, Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi majmain, they said, don't pray after Asr, before Maghrib. So they are not contradicting the hadith of Rasulullah sallam. Please understand this. So it's not as if they are saying the hadith of the Nabi is unimportant. No, the hadith of the Nabi specifically referred to playing two rakat tahiyatul masjid during a time when salah is permissible. So when Imam Abu Hanifa says, don't pray Tahiyatul Masjid after Asr, before Maghrib, he is not going against the hadith. So also Imam Malik. Now Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi on the other hand said, the hadith did not specify the actual time, so therefore it applies generally. Alhamdulillah, this is a difference in interpretation, that is all, neither of them is denying the hadith. Now, one day Imam Malik, who is Imam Malik? The one who made this fatwa. One day Imam Malik rahmatullahi enters Masjid al-Nabawi, because he was the Imam of the Masjid, he was the Khatib of the Masjid. He enters Masjid al-Nabawi after Salatul Asr is over, close to Salatul Maghrib, he enters Masjid al-Nabawi and he is about to sit down. Because there is no Salah at that time, and normally he would have prayed two rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid, but because of the timing, he is not going to pray, he is about to sit down. There was a small boy there, the boy called out and said, do not sit down. Kala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not sit down until you pray two rakat of Tahiyatul Masjid. Immediately Imam Malik sallallahu akbar and he started praying. Right? So what is he doing? He is doing something against his own fatwa. Now, obviously, everyone knows him, all his students were there and so on. So after all this finished, Maghrib finished and so on, he used to have his dars of hadith. They asked him, they said, yeah, Imam, you did something today, we want to understand why you did that, because your fatwa is that there is no salah after Salatul Asr, before Salatul Maghrib. And however, when this boy called out, you started praying, even though it is against your own opinion. He said, yes, it is against my opinion. And yes, I still maintain the same opinion. But I did not want to be in a situation where I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if Allah asks me that you heard the hadith of my Nabi, how is it you did not obey it? Huh? Now Imam Malik rahmatullahi could have explained to the boy why he was doing what he was doing. I'm sure the boy would have understood, he would have accepted. I mean, it's not to say that this, you know, this boy was some argumentative character and whatnot. No. He could explain to him, the reason I'm not praying now is because of this, alhamdulillah. He did not do that. He said the moment he heard that, he said, Allahu Akbar, khalas. So what are we learning here? We are learning that the fundamental is more important than the thing which divides. Right? Second example I'll give you. Among the four madhabs, the Hanbali madhab of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayh, in the Hanbali madhab, if you eat camel meat, your wudu is invalid. So you have to make wudu again. Your wudu breaks. With the Shafi'i, the Ahnaf and the Malikis, it does not break. You can eat camel meat, no problem. Wudu breaks only for the usual reasons why wudu breaks. But Imam Ahmad said, with camel meat also it breaks, because Allah Allah, maybe he thought because of camel meat, more gas is produced and so on, and maybe you lose your wudu or whatever. Allah Allah. Now, this is in Masjid Nabawi again, and this is in the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Imam Ahmad was the greatest muhaddith of his time. He was also the Imam of the Masjid, Masjid Nabawi Sharif. He was the Khatib of the Masjid. And it was his fatwa that eating camel meat breaks your wudu. Now, it so happened that Imam Ahmad himself had invited some people for a meal. So, after Salat al-Dhuhr, they all sat, they had this meal, and there was camel meat was served. So, they all ate camel meat. And then it was time for Salat al-Asr. One of the people in that party was a Maliki alim. So, Imam Ahmad invited him to lead Salah. So, the Maliki alim stood up and led Salah. Right? Now, Imam Ahmad prayed behind him. So, after this Salah finished and so on, the man had left. Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhi, students, they asked him, they said, it is your fatwa that if you eat camel meat, your wudu is broken. This man ate camel meat and he prayed and he did not make wudu. And he led Salah and you prayed behind him. So, the Salah is valid or not valid? Because how is Salah valid without wudu? Imam Ahmad said, if instead of that man, if Malik bin Anas was leading Salah, would I pray behind him? He said, of course. How would you not pray behind Malik bin Anas? He said, if Malik bin Anas had eaten camel meat, would he have made wudu? He said, no. Because that is not his madhabi, that's not his fatwa. So he said that is the answer. So even though this was his opinion, even though he did not change his opinion, he is saying that I respect the opinion of another imam because he has his reasons. Again, where is the focus? The focus is on togetherness. It is not on divisions. The reason I'm saying this is because today this is the biggest need. And as I keep saying all the time, anyone preaches divisions, discard them, reject them outright. Focus for yourself, focus on the fundamentals. What is the fundamental? The fundamental is my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing more fundamental than my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do I get this connection? By following the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get these two right. And believe me, between you and me, this will take the rest of your lifetime. Alhamdulillah, if I spend my whole life connecting myself with Allah, or working towards that, or struggling for that, and working towards this, and getting tired in that process, and if I spend my whole life looking at how do I live according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I don't do anything else, Insha'Allah al-Musta'an, I expect the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah. But if I spend my time looking at how the Ahnaf are right and the Shawafi are wrong and this and that, believe me, then you will be among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called those who divide the Ummah. I'll tell you a final story. One of the senior ulama of Hanafi ulama in South Africa, Marana Bhamji Rahmatullah Ali, he told me the story. He said that it's written the Malfuzat of Mufti Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. He said one day in Deoband, he said, I came across Ahmad Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, was one of the Akabirin of Deoband, one of the founders of Deoband. He said he was sitting in a place and he was holding his head. So he said, I saw him, I thought, is he sick or something? He is not well. So he came to me and said, Hazrat, aapki kya kuch takleef mein hai? Kya, what's the issue? I mean, are you in pain? Are you sick? ہی سیڈ مجھے احساس یہ ہوا ہے کہ ہم نے ہماری ساری زندگی برباد کر دی. ہی سیڈ آئی سڈنلی گاٹ ریئلائزیشن دیٹ وی ہیو آئی ہیو ڈسٹرائڈ مائی لائف. سو مفتی شفیع صاحب سے یہ تو عجیب و غریب بات ہے, آپ کیسے کیسے بولتے ہیں آپ کی ساری زندگی آپ نے برباد کر, کیسے برباد کی؟ ہی سیڈ اے اسٹرینج تھنگ, ہاؤ کین یو سے دیٹ یو یو ڈسٹرائڈ ویسٹڈ یور لائف. ہی سیڈ کیونکہ ہم نے ہماری زندگی پوری امام شافعی کے نخوص نکالنے میں ہم نے زندگی گنوائی. ہی سیڈ وی اسپینڈ مائی ہول لائف ٹرائنگ ٹو فائنڈ دا فالٹس ان امام شافعی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ فتاوا. ہی سیڈ آئی ہیو ڈسٹرائڈ مائی لائف. ہی سیڈ از دس واٹ وی آر سپوز ٹو ڈو؟ از دس دا پرپز آف ٹیچنگ ریلیجن؟ سو پلیز انڈرسٹینڈ, واٹ ایور مذہب یو آر فالوئنگ, وچ ایور مذہب مسلک یو آر فالوئنگ, پلیز فالو, نو پرابلم. ان شاء اللہ یو ایز لانگ ایز یو آر ناٹ انوینٹنگ یور اون ریلیجن دیر از نو پرابلم. ڈونٹ ٹرائی ٹو, دیٹ دی ادر مصیبت. یو فائنڈ ون حدیث سم ویئر اینڈ نیکسٹ تھنگ یو نو یو ہیو ایشوڈ یور اون فتوا فار یور سیلف. نو, ڈونٹ ٹرائی ٹو انوینٹ یور اون ریلیجن. فالو وچ ایور امام یو وانٹ ٹو فالو, ایبسولوٹلی نو پرابلم. بٹ ڈونٹ کریٹیسائز ادرس, ڈونٹ پوائنٹ فنگرز ایٹ ادرس, ڈونٹ گیٹ واٹ وی کال اسبیت وچ از شاوینزم بیسڈ آن یور مذہب مسلک واٹ ایور. ڈونٹ ہیو دیٹ کائنڈ آف اے فیلنگ بیکاز دیٹ ڈیوائڈس, دیٹ ڈیوائڈس. وی ڈونٹ نیڈ ڈیویژنس, وی ہیو انف ڈیویژنس. وی نیڈ ٹو بریک دوز ڈیویژنس. وی نیڈ ٹو کم ٹوگیدر ایز ون پیپل, ایز ایز مسلمز الحمد للہ, not as Barelvi and Deobandi and Shafi and Hanafi and Muslim and Hanbali or what not. No, we don't need this rubbish. We need to come together as one people. And that is the greatest miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we can revive that, then inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the kind of position and waqar that he gave to the sahaba rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.